Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live from Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. D-Mace is out today. He's in his Cornhole Championship. We are very proud of him. So we are replacing D-Mace with C-Mace. Chris Mason joins us now. C-Mace,
and I will say, C-Mace is a very good cornhole player himself.
Ah, all the Masons are good at cornhole.
C-Mace, are you jealous? D-Mace is on ESPN2 tonight in Canton, Ohio, throwing the bags. He's doing the cornhole tournament. This is huge.
I'm major jelly right now. I'm going to have to tune in to watch the technique there, because that's big time.
6 o'clock, ESPN2. D-Mace is getting back at it.
Yep. Bags going on. That's awesome.
Putting the pads back on.
I will say, C-Mace and I have partnered up in many a city and won many games in cornhole.
There's very few in the L column.
Yeah, and whoever you beat, you should not ever let them forget it. Don't ever let them let it down.
Absolutely, right? Let that win just – that win's going to be infinite.
Infinite, absolutely. Unlike Tennessee's wins. Chris Mason.
Just been vacated.
Too soon. Chris Mason, appreciate you for joining us. I was reading Joe Rexroad's article in The Athletic, kind of highlighting the new moves. And look, I get it. I see Barry Trotz's vision. But there are very fair questions to bring up about what this team looks like at the end of the 3 to 4 year retrotzification, as we are now calling it. So what is your impression of the signings that Barry Trotz brought in, Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen, and what this team's going to look like over the next 3 to 4 years?
Well, I love the signings. If you ask anyone in the hockey world about, all three of those guys, every single person you ask will just praise about their character, what type of teammate they are, and the type of leadership that they bring to the table. And I think it's extremely important when you have, or you're going into a phase where you're going to have a young core or nucleus of players that is going to be your future, and that's kind of who you're building around. It's extremely important. I can't even overstate how important that is, because I've been on both spectrums of it as a young guy with a good core of leadership and players, and then just guys that are, hey, I'm happy to be making money. I'm happy to be in the NHL. We win. I don't care. I still get paid the same amount. And the effect that it can have on a young player is just astronomical. So the fact that he brought in these guys that have won, that are high character, that are really going to mentor these players, that's who they look up to. When they come, they walk in the dressing room, and your leadership group, the effort, the way they conduct themselves, the attitude, the mindset, of players that have won, and players that are, have had big roles in why their teams have won, is just, these players are going to learn so much. And, at the end of that, whatever, 3, 4, 5 years of the trotsification, as you said, you're going to have a lot of these young players saying, man, Ryan O'Reilly was a big influence on me. Ryan McDonough, Luke Shen really helped me understand, when you get into these situations. I just can't overstate. I know people are look at the age of some of these players and say, well, why did you do that? He just got rid of old player. He did this. Well, it's the character, and also the fact that these guys are still getting it done on the ice as well. So I think these guys are going to have major impacts on the young players that end up making the team this season and beyond.
Mace, one thing that Joe asked in his article, and I think it's a good question, and the gamble for Barry Trotz in doing this, let's say the team is a scrappy bubble team this year, and you hope that you're growing it from there. But his question is, in 2 or 3 years, when Roman Josi is 34 and 35, and then Philip Forsberg's getting into his low 30s, and Ryan O'Reilly's getting 33, 34, Ryan McDonough is going to be past his mid-30s, can those guys still do what they're doing today when the young guys are hopefully getting into their prime? I think that's really where the rubber is going to meet the road.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's going to be a wait and see kind of a thing. And players that as you go along, you know, may have value. If it's not the case, they may have value in trade to acquire assets and to get, you know, other pieces in here that are, you know, align with the direction that the Predators are going to go if they want to get younger. But if they are able to get it done and the younger players develop as well, then I think you're sitting pretty. Then I think you're in a position where, you know, you can add. You might, you know, there's going to be a lot of personnel changeover from, you know, here to 4 years, I'm assuming. You know, and a lot of the big question in the offseason was, oh, who's going to get traded? Is it going to be Saros? Is it going to be Askarov? That's another thing that's, you know, in that time frame, you know, when Saros' new contract, that's probably going to be addressed at some point. And both those guys, you know, have the opportunity to bring huge return back to the Predators. And that's, you know, obviously to be determined. But I think it's so hard to look. It's so hard to look from even right now to the start of this season to even how it's going to look at the end of this season, let alone 4 or 5 years. But obviously there's a plan and there's a vision here. But a lot of those players that you mentioned, you know, if they're not, or if the team isn't developing or going along the path of the rebuild as fast as they want, a lot of those players could probably bring some pretty good value back to the team in order to kind of revamp or kickstart that rebuild.
And I'm glad that you bring up Saros and Askarov. Chris Mason is with us. Because I think that Barry Trotz finds himself in the biggest and best conundrum here with two really solid goaltenders running it back with Juuse Saros this year. But there is going to come a time where Barry Trotz is going to have to make his mind up. Saros, Askarov. Saros is probably going to be dealt a pretty solid contract here in a couple of years once his contract is up. So how do you see this goalie situation playing out between Saros and Askarov, knowing that Askarov is probably chomping at the bit to get his opportunity?
He is, and you're right. It's a fantastic situation to be in because you have right now a proven one of the best goaltenders, one of the top three goalies in the world already in Juuse Saros at an unbelievable bargain right now with the contract he's on. Yes, he's probably going to you know, ask for a lot more and get a lot more, but, you know, who knows? You could eventually, given the situation, you know, get the hometown discount, as a lot of players have done here. But, you know, and then you have the best goalie prospect maybe in the world also. A lot of people say generational talent and all those types of things. Had an excellent year in Milwaukee. But, you know, again, he's an unproven guy in the National Hockey League. But he could help a lot of teams, and he could bring a very good return. So I think a lot of it's going to have to do with this next year. Obviously, Lankinen on a one-year deal, I would expect the year after that or maybe later in this year, depending how things go, to see more of Askarov getting some NHL experience. And then the closer they get to Saros and an extension or a new contract there, that's, I think, when the decision's going to be made. But either way, you know, if you're trading, I mean, Juuse Saros could, you know, hands down, single-handedly help win, you know, a championship for a team that's ready to compete. But at the same time, if this rebuild goes, you know, quicker than or as according to plan, you have a Juuse Saros who could help you win a championship. And then if not, you got the guy waiting in the wings that, you know, everybody believes is going to be a superstar in this league and in Askarov. So that's a big-time TBD transaction right there.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Preds offseason here the day after the Predators introduced Ryan O'Reilly. So on O'Reilly, we just had a great text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, kind of an Ask C-Mace. Instead of usually on Friday we ask D-Mace, but, I, you know, why not? Here we are on
why
Friday.
Not?
If you got a question for C-Mace, text
spot
it in.
He's going to try to win a cornhole championship.
So. Thank you for that.
But he said, this is Clay that texted it. Listen to O'Reilly talk reminds me of Mike Fisher, and that makes me feel really good about him being here. Do you see that connection? Mace, I kind of feel that same thing when I watch Ryan O'Reilly play and I watch him go about his business.
Well, I do because I feel like those guys, you know, everyone has different strengths and attributes they bring. Not everybody's, you know, a vocal leader. Not everybody wants to be rallied around. There's some players that, you know, lead in different ways, whether it's just, you know, hard work, coming to the rink, you know, not a very vocal guy. I want to kind of be a support, you know, to the leadership group. And some guys want to be the mentor. They want to be the father figure. They embrace that. That's who they are. You know, that's in their DNA, and he's one of these players. He embraces that. I think that he takes pride in the fact, like Mike Fisher, I got to play with him and to see firsthand, you know, what that entails of those types of players. And it's really, you know, reaching out to younger players, communicating, embracing that extra part of your responsibility as a leader on the team. As I mentioned, some guys are going to lead in different ways. You know, they're going to come, and when it's, you know, maybe time to speak up, they'll speak up, you know, in certain team meetings and all that kind of stuff, and guys listen to that. But there's also the guys like the Mike Fisher who's going to, you know, maybe be in the wing and see, you know, there's a young guy over there, he's going through a tough time, the coach just yelled at him for turning the puck over in the last minute of the game, and he got scored in. Well, after that meeting, he's going to walk over there, he's going to say, you know, Luke, come over here. You know, I'll talk to you. He's like, hey, I've done that a million times. Don't worry about it. This is what we got to do. And, you know, kind of build the guy back up. And, you know, it's guys like that that are so instrumental on the journey of a young player's development. So the way that he speaks, and obviously you compare him to Mike Fisher, and, you know, that's never a bad thing with those qualities and characteristics. So it's something I think this team really needs.
Brian texts in and says, can we please not let Askarov fight anymore? But I've got that's an interesting thought. But I do have a question on that. You know, Mace, when you're young, when you're his age, you don't have the wisdom that you have when you're, say, 28, 30 years old. He's going to learn a lot. But I'm sure in his mind, it would be easy for him to say, man, you're about to trade me to a team that's ready to maybe have me be the man a lot sooner. Right now, when am I going to play? You know, how do you try, as you're the Predators, maybe Ben Vanderklok or the surrounding people, to try to make sure that they sell him on, look, you've got a lot to learn, but look, we value you. You're on a great path here, but take advantage of the time here. This is the best thing for you at this point. Because I think it's easy when you're 20 to say, look, I just had a great year in the AHL. I'm ready.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things. And I remember when I was talking about this, the first thing he said when he got drafted is, I want to be a star. I don't just want to play in the NHL. I want to be a superstar. And I love that attitude. And he's got that special charisma and confidence and that drive to be the best. But I think, you know, especially in this organization, you point out guys that have, you know, he's following in their footsteps, and look at the careers that Pekarinen had. Obviously, he was a little bit older by the time he got to the AHL, but UC Saros, you know, he had time in Milwaukee. He came up, you know, he played a support role. Obviously, you know, Saros was ready to start a lot sooner than he did, but Pekka was still here, and, you know, that transition was tough at times. And but you point out to these guys, and then I would look at other guys that, you know, came to the NHL too early. You know, Carter Hart, he's a great goalie now, but he had some big-time struggles, and I think it would have been a lot more beneficial, you know, for him to get more seasoning in the American League and just get to that point where, you know, you're dominating and you're the best. It's one season. Milwaukee had a good team. He had a good year. Cooley had a good year. He needs a little more time. And I think the maturity thing, as you pointed out, that's the other thing that's hard to tell a 21-year-old, because we were all there and we all knew everything.
Right.
But, right? You know, it's just the way it is. But I just think you just be patient. He is going to be there, and he's going to have a long, illustrious NHL career. And, you know, if he can just hold on and just keep, you know, good attitude and get better, you have a good opportunity to get a lot better. You know, you're going to go to the NHL and you think you're going to be a starter at 21. I don't think that's, you know, necessarily, you know, a reasonable expectation. Very few guys have done it, and especially not a lot have done it with great success. So there's a lot of examples of guys ahead of them, a lot in our organization, that I think could kind of, you know, make them just be a little more patient here and just keep going and keep dominating down there.
Last text that I wanted to run by you quickly, C-Mace. I like Barry Trotz's vision. I see it. But I understand that there's a group of Predators fans out there that don't believe in the vision, that don't see the vision. One texter texts in, says, how are we going to win games without scoring?
Well, you're not going to win a game without scoring.
Right. So it's not a bad question.
But I get the question.
But,
like,
yeah.
I hear this a lot, Mace. Mm-hmm. Do they have enough offense? As you see the lineup, can they get enough by committee?
Well, that's the question, and that's something, you know, I get the concern, but how do we know we can't score? We got a lot of, you know, young offensive talent. We've got guys that have scored. We have a, you know, Andrew Burnett as a coach is going to really tactically try to get this team moving, you know, being a lot more aggressive offensively. We've got really good offensive defensemen. We've got one of the best, you know, I think, D-cores right now. Going Roman Josi. I think Philip Forsberg is going to be absolutely huge for this team. He's got to score. He should be, in my opinion, a perennial 40-goal scorer. He's got the talent. He's got to find a way to stay healthy. Got to get a good line combination going with him. A power play has got to be something that is improved this year and more consistent. That's where a lot of offense comes for a lot of teams. And these young players, that's my biggest thing, is these young players finished so strong last year, but it's going to be different this year. You know, we had a lot of offensive success, more than I think anybody thought of at these young players, but it's going to be harder. They're going to have a lot of these expectations right off the start of the season. People know who they are. Can they do it now when they're expected to win, when other teams, they're not going to sneak up on teams anymore like we did at the end of last season. So I don't know if there's going to be scoring. That's something we won't know until the season starts, and to see, you know, what the roster looks like at a training camp, if there's any more moves made. I think I actually like that Gurionov signing. I think that's you know, a no-lose situation. Bring the kid in for 1 year. He's got, you know, a lot of offensive upside, played really well in Dallas. You got nothing to lose. If it doesn't work out, you know, you're not going to be too worried if you lose him in waivers in that kind of a situation. So I don't know if we can score yet. That's my long answer for a short answer.
Little Friday Ask C. Mace edition. Chris Mason, we appreciate you. You are the very best. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
And let's challenge C. Mace. We're going to challenge D. Mace and the partner of his choice, maybe Caroline, to a game.
Let's do it.
I accept.
Yeah.
All right. That's coming up. Wins, maybe
is he going to put his belts on? If he wins tonight, is he going to put the belts on the line?
Yeah, he's got to bring a belt home.
I think that we should. It's only right. Yeah. It is only
okay,
right.
Let's do it. We got to stream it, too.
Oh, but this is a big production. This is going to be big.
Or should we get it on D-Mace's network on ESPN2? Because this might be a bigger deal than the one that D-Mace is competing in tonight.
Forget the streaming. Let's get on the big let's get on the big mothership.
Big picture.
Let's have our people talk to his people. We'll get this done.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, we'll get it coordinated. C-Mace, appreciate you. Thank you for your time. Have a good one. Have a good weekend.
You awesome. Too. Take care.
Chris Mason, he is the very best. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook, the only sportsbook in Tennessee with a cash rewards program. Betting just got better. Download their app today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.